Now let's open our Bibles to Psalms 90, verse 12. Psalms 90, verse 12. So teach us to number our days, that we may apply our hearts to wisdom. Now this is a psalm, not of David, but a psalm of Moses. It's called a prayer of Moses, the man of God. This is a psalm of Moses, and it's in the form of a prayer. It begins with, Lord, thou hast been our dwelling place in all generations. And there are petitions and praise throughout the entire psalm. It's a psalm of Moses in the form of a prayer. I don't have time to cover the entire psalm. I don't have the time to cover one verse. But I'm going to have some things to say beginning with verse 9. Now look at verse 9. For all our days are passed away in thy wrath. First of all, Moses measures the length of a person's life not in years, not in months, but in days. He says, our days are passed away. These days are swift. They are here and they're soon gone. They're described in the Word of God. Our days are described as a flower blooming today and gone tomorrow. Our days are described in God's Word as a mist or a vapor that appears for a little while. David describes our life, our days, as a shadow. He says man is like to vanity. His days are as a shadow that passeth away. And then here in verse 9 of Psalm 90, Moses says our years are as a tale that is told, just a brief story. Someone tells a story, has a beginning, and it has an ending, and it's over, and that's life. A man's life is just that quickly gone. It's like a tale that is told. Now verse 10 says, the days of our years are 70. The days of our years are usually about 70. Now there was a time when man lived several hundred years. But after the flood, those days were cut down to 100 or 120 years. Many men lived 100 years, some lived 120. Now in the time of Moses, and after the days of Moses, they're brought down to 70, and that's what Moses is talking about in verse 10. The average life span is about 70 years. The days, listen to it carefully. Verse 10, the days of our years are 70. That's 70. And if by reason of strength, that is, because of a good constitution, because of a healthy body, but most of all, by the grace of God, suppose by reason of strength our days of our years be 80 years, 80 years, that's 80 years. And yet, even if they are, these extra years, look at it, these extra years, yet is their strength, labor, and sorrow. These extra years are spent in sickness and pain and frailty, failure of the eyes and the ears and sometimes even the mind. These extra years, the days of a man's life, are usually about 70 years. And if, by reason of a good constitution, a healthy body, the grace of God, we live 80 years, yet these years are spent in sorrow, they're spent in labor, they're spent in pain, they're spent in sickness, they're spent in frailty. And then he says in the last three words of verse 10, we fly away. The soul like a bird leaving its nest, the soul wings its way out of the body, upward to God, or else downward to eternal condemnation with our sins about our necks as a millstone. But we fly away. Our days of our years are usually about 70, and if by reason of strength they be 80, we fly away as a shadow, as a bird flees from its nest, never to return. Job said, In a few days, I shall go the way from which I shall not return. Solomon said, man goeth to his long home, and the mourners go about the streets. So this is the introduction or preparation for my text tonight. Moses says, our days, not years, not months, but our days, are passed away. We spend these years as a tale that is told. Usually we live 70, if by reason of strength 80 years, yet we fly away. Now our text, verse 12. So teach us to number our days. Now that's the first point in this message. Let's think about it a moment. So teach us to number our days. This is the heavenly arithmetic. I don't need to be divinely taught to number my past days. That's not what Moses is talking about. We know how many days we've lived. I know how many years I've lived. I know how many, it wouldn't be very difficult for me to figure out how many months I've lived, and even how many days I've lived, and how many hours I've lived. I can get it right down to the minute how long I've lived on this earth. We celebrate birthdays every year, and we do number our past days. But that's not what he's talking about. So teach us to number our past days. And then Moses is not talking about numbering our future days. It wouldn't be difficult for me to take the number 70. That's what he says here. The days of our years are 70. So I put down a 70. And I've lived 48 years. And I subtracted. I've got 22 more. That's not what he's talking about at all. We're not talking about how many days we have left to live. That's in the hands of the Lord. Turn to Job chapter 14. In Job chapter 14, in verse 5, the scripture says our days are determined. Job 14:5, our days are determined. The number of our months are with the Lord. He has appointed our bounds, and we cannot pass. I have a designated amount of time spent on this earth. It's determined by the Father. It's set by the Father. He hath determined my years, my days, my months. They're with him. He has set the boundary. Now, I don't have the faintest idea when that is. And that's not what Moses is talking about. Teach us to number our days. Teach us to number our days. What is he talking about? Here's what he's talking about. The meaning of this statement, so teach us to number our days, is this. Teach us, Lord, the brevity of life. Teach us, O Lord, the shortness of life, that we may meditate on the shortness of our days, that we may seriously consider how few these days are. Now, some men in the Word of God had been divinely taught the shortness of life. Let's look at some of them. For example, David. Turn to Psalms 103. David had been taught in Psalms 103, verse 14. He had been taught the brevity of life, the shortness of life. He says in Psalms 103, beginning with verse 14, the Lord knoweth our frame. He remembereth that we are dust. As for man, his days are as grass. As a flower of the field, so he flourisheth. For the wind passeth over it, and it is gone, and the place thereof shall know it no more. David had been taught of God the brevity of life, the shortness of life. And then Job, turn back to Job chapter 14 again. Job had been taught of God the brevity of life, the shortness of our days. He says in Job 14, verse 1, man, and here's a familiar scripture, most of you won't even have to turn to it, man that is born of woman is a few days and full of trouble. He cometh forth like a flower, he cut down. He fleeth also as a shadow and continueth not. Job had been taught. And certainly Moses had been taught, because we read here in the 90th Psalm, back in verse 3, thou turnest man to destruction and sayest, return ye children of men. 1,000 years in thy sight are but as yesterday when it is past, and as a watch in the night. Thou carriest them away as with a flood. Man's life is like a sleep. In the morning they are like grass which groweth up. In the morning it flourisheth and groweth up, but in the evening it's cut down and withered. What Moses is saying here, Lord, teach us to number our days, is, Lord, teach us the brevity of life. Lord, teach every one of us the shortness of life. Teach us to number our days. Now then, the second point. When we learn to number our days, when we're divinely taught, when we sit down for a little while and meditate seriously on this shortness of life, what do we learn? Well, we learn three or four things. First of all, we learn this. We learn that our days here on this earth, these short days, we learn that these days are spent in a whirl. And this is something many of us haven't learned. These days are spent in a whirl that is under God's wrath. Now look at verse 9 again. Our days, all of them, are passed away in thy wrath. In thy wrath. Sin has brought this world under God's wrath. The scripture says God is angry with the wicked. When Peter preached at Pentecost, he exhorted individuals to save themselves from this perverse generation. God's wrath is upon this world. We see God's judgment at Babel's Tower. We see God's judgment upon the people of Noah's day when he swept them all away in a flood. We see God's judgment upon Sodom and Gomorrah. We see God's awful wrath upon Jerusalem. We look all the way back through the history of mankind, and we see God's wrath and God's judgment upon this world. We spend our days in a world that's under God's wrath, and that hasn't changed, and that's not going to change. And not only do we consider, when we consider the shortness of life, the brevity of life, that God's judgment is upon this world, but we also consider God's wrath in a man's life. When we begin our life in birth, we begin it in pain. The painfulness of childbirth. That's the way man comes into this world. He comes into this world through pain. And then all the little childhood diseases. And then he lives in pain. He earns his bread by the sweat of his brow. And then he dies in pain. And all of this pain and disease and disappointment and trials and suffering, all of these things are because of God's wrath on this world. All our days, look at it, verse 9, all our days, all of them, every one of them, are passed away, are spent under God's wrath. This world is under God's wrath, and it's not going to change. And when you sit down and consider life, you think about the years that you spent on this earth and how few you have left. And you think back over them, and starting at your very birth, and you find the pain and the suffering and the poverty and the famine and the hard work and the disappointment and the sicknesses and the disease and the death of loved ones, and all of life is full of disappointments because of sin. Sin has come into this world, and with sin has come disease and death and tears. Life is full of tears. There's going to be a lot more of them. And when you sit down and consider the brief span of human life as a shadow, as a flower, as a fleeting mist, as a tale that's told from its start till it's finished, somebody's crying, somebody's suffering, somebody's hurting, somebody's disappointed, somebody's failing. And that's the way it's spent. It's spent under God's wrath. The whole tale is told as a tale of wrath. The second thing, if we consider seriously the brevity of life and the way that it's spent under God's wrath, and we learn the second thing, that in this flesh nobody's going to please God. This world is not pleasing to God. This world is under judgment. And all flesh is under judgment. God is going to destroy this world of flesh. Paul said, in the flesh no man can please God. He said, in my flesh dwelleth no good thing. Our Lord Jesus said, flesh and blood cannot enter the kingdom of God. The world of flesh and the world of the spirit are contrary one to the other. They're poles apart, and nobody will ever bring them together. And the little silly, sentimental, emotional religionists of this day are living in a fleshly religious world. You consider some of these people in the Old Testament who met God and how they reacted when they met God. When Isaiah met God, he said, in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord. And immediately he said, O Lord, I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell among a people of unclean lips. He saw the Lord high and lifted up. Your sins, David said, have separated between you and God. When the prophet Daniel met the Lord, he said, my beauty, my fleshly beauty, melted into corruption. When the saintly Job met the Lord, he said, I hate myself. I repent in sackcloth and ashes. I've spoken once, yea, twice, things too wonderful for me. I've heard of thee by the hearing of the ear, but now mine eye seeth thee, and I hate myself. When we consider the brevity of life, the shortness of life, the brief years that are spent here in this world of flesh, they're spent under judgment. This world is under judgment. It's under God's wrath. It's passed away in God's wrath. Oh, he said in verse 11, who knows the power of thine anger? Who knows it? Even according to thy fear, so is thy wrath. We learn these things. We learn, first of all, as we sit down and think about life, consider it. Think about it, the shortness of it, and we think, first of all, that the whole thing is full of sin and disappointment and starts with death, because a mother literally goes through the valley of death to bring forth life, and it ends in death. And then we can't please God in the flesh. And the third thing we learn when we consider number our days, when we learn to number them, we learn not to boast of tomorrow. When we seriously number our days, we number this present day as potentially my last day. My last day. This is potentially my last day. It's foolish for any man to boast of anything. Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians 4, what hast thou that thou didst not receive? Now, if thou didst receive it, why dost thou boast as if thou didst not receive it? Who maketh thee to differ? It's foolish to boast of anything, but it's doubly foolish to boast of tomorrow. Turn to James chapter 4. Listen to this. In James, the fourth chapter, beginning with verse 13. Now, this is what we learn when we go to school and learn heavenly arithmetic. We learn to number our days. We don't have many of them. They pass so quickly. And we determine this, all of them are spent in a world under judgment. They're spent in the valley of, somebody said, I believe Don Fitzer said the other day, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. That's not just talking about the day you die. This whole journey is a valley of a shadow of death. This whole pilgrimage is in a barren, famine-infested wilderness. This whole trip, that's what Moses is saying. We pass our day under God's wrath. This whole journey is a journey of tears. Don't expect it to be anything else, and don't be disappointed when it is. In this world, Christ said, ye shall have tribulation. And we learn not to boast of tomorrow. Look at James 4:13. Go to now, you that say, today or tomorrow we'll go into the city. And we're going to stay there a year, and we're going to buy and sell and get gain. Whereas you don't know what's going to be on tomorrow. What is your life? What is your life? Why, it's even a vapor that appeareth for a little time, and then it vanisheth away. What you ought to say is this, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or do that. So teach us, Lord, our days are passed away in thy wrath. Our days are like a tale that is told. We have 70 years, maybe 80 years, and then we fly away. Lord, teach me to number my days. Teach me seriously to meditate and seriously to think upon the brevity of life. The shortness of my days. And if I do, I'll learn something. I'll learn as I look at this little scene, as I look at this little tale that's told, as I look at this little flower that's blooming for a while, and the morning it grows up, and the night it's dying and withered. And I look at it, and I remember it's spent under God's judgment. That's the reason it's dying. That's the reason for the decaying teeth and the failing of sight and hearing and the graying of the hair and the strength leaving and the wrinkles and these things. God's wrath. And remember that I can't change it. I can't change it. This flesh cannot dress itself up to please God. I'm not going to change it at all. And I can't boast of tomorrow. Today is potentially my last day. And then, fourthly, I learned to be concerned about my meeting with God. My meeting with God. Oh, people don't like for the preacher to talk about death. But yet somebody they know dies every day. People don't like for the preacher to talk about judgment. People don't like for the preacher to talk about eternity. And yet, oh, wise is the man, how wise is the woman, who can sit down with some common sense and judgment and can say, I'm a sinner. I was born in sin. I was shapen in iniquity. I was brought forth speaking lies. I live briefly in a world under God's judgment. I live in a world under God's wrath. I pass my days in pain and sickness and disease and frailty and disappointment. The very happiest mountaintop experiences in life usually precede a deep valley experience. I cannot look forward to anything but more tears and more heartache and more disappointment because man shaking his fist in God's face and crucified God's Son and said, we will not have this man reign over us, and this world is doomed to destruction and all flesh with it. And in my flesh, born of flesh, I cannot please God. I may not have a tomorrow. Today may be my last day. Tomorrow I may stand before God in judgment, and the books are open. So what am I going to do? Psalm 90 again, our text. Look at it. So teach us. Our days have passed away in wrath. Just a tale that's told. 70 years. So teach me, Lord, to number my days, that, in order that, I can play the fool. Be like the man in Luke chapter 12 who said, as he lay upon his bed one night, I have many goods laid up for many years. I've got everything taken care of for the next 40, 50, 60 years. Tear down these barns and build bigger barns. Eat, drink, and be merry. And the Lord came and said, you're a fool. This night thy soul shall be required of thee. Teach me to number my days that I may apply my heart to wisdom. Wisdom. Now, my friend, it's wisdom to prepare for death. It's wisdom to prepare for eternity. Considering the shortness of life and the length of eternity, it's wisdom for me to prepare to meet God. Our Lord said that in Luke 12:20. He said, thy fool, this night shall thy soul be required of thee, and so is he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. He's a fool. But you know, I think there's more here than just that. That's enough, but there's more here. Teach me to number my days that I may apply my heart, that I may cause my heart to come to wisdom. The wisdom here is Christ. That's right. You say, well, you find Christ in all these verses. I sure do. Because that's the very goal of the Word of God, to bring men to Christ. That is the very use of the law. The law is the schoolmaster to bring us to Christ. That is the reason for every type and example and picture in the whole Old Testament to reveal Christ. The prophets spoke of Christ. And you won't find it very difficult to see that Christ is, all the way through the Bible, called the wisdom of God. In fact, Paul said, we preach Christ, what? The wisdom and power of God. Teach me to number my days, that I may bring my heart, or I may cause my heart to come to Christ. How is Christ the wisdom of God? Well, let me show you briefly. First of all, in choosing Christ to be our Redeemer, God revealed His wisdom. For the Redeemer must not only be a divine person, but the Redeemer must be a holy man. And Christ, as the divine person and the holy man, was fit to be our Redeemer. In making Christ our surety, wisdom is seen. Christ became our representative. He was numbered with the transgressors. As our substitute, our sins were laid on Him, and by His stripes we're healed. Wisdom is seen in the incarnation. Christ, conceived by the Holy Spirit, is a man, but not a man who has partaken of Adam's transgression. He is all man, but He is fathered by God. Wisdom is seen in His honoring the law, being tested in all points as we are, yet without sin. That's wisdom. Wisdom is manifested in the death of Christ, as the justice of God is completely satisfied. The living God, the fountain of life, died in the person of Christ and reconciled the elect unto Himself. Wisdom is seen in the exaltation of Christ. For He who is the head of the church is the King of the universe. Lord, teach me to number my days, not my years, but my days. We talk about we live 40 some odd years. We've got 10, 12, 15, 20 years to go. These aren't years. These are days. Days. That's what they are. Just days. Brief, short days. As a tale that's told, as a shadow that quickly passeth away, as a flower that blooms and soon is withered and gone. As days. And Lord, as I number my days, I apply my heart to Christ. I apply to Him for mercy. I apply to Him for forgiveness. I apply to Him for that blessed atonement. I've found a ransom. I've found a way out of God's wrath. I've found a way to escape God's condemnation. I've found a way to rise above this world of flesh and death and corruption. I've found a ransom. I apply to Him for eternal life. For the Son quickeneth whom He will. He's got all power over all flesh that He should give eternal life to as many as the Father hath given Him. I apply to Him for life. Lord, I've numbered my days. I've considered the brevity of life. I'm not going to grieve over it and mourn over it. I'm going to seriously and conscientiously consider it. And then on my knees before the throne of Thy grace, I'm going to apply for mercy. I'm going to apply for Christ. Our Father in heaven, burn this message into our hearts. I seriously believe that we cannot learn anything this day more important to us. For how evil it is of us and how foolish of us to live these rapidly passing days in indifference to that which is most important, eternity. What fools we are to give our time and our thoughts to that which shall pass away and that which shall be gone tomorrow and neglect that which shall live eternally. How foolish for us to keep up for ourselves in this world treasures that rust and pass away and thieves break through and steal, and not lay up for ourselves spiritual treasures at Thy right hand. Lord, teach us. Let us go to school tonight to the divine professor. Let us sit at the feet of the Holy Spirit and, Lord, teach us this important lesson to number our days, to number our days, and let the results be that we may apply our hearts unto Christ, that we may find in Him everlasting joy that cannot pass away. As our Master said to the woman at the well, you drink of this water, you'll thirst again. But you drink of the water I'll give you, you'll never thirst. It's eternal water. And let us not think so much about this water, but think about eternal living water. And the blessed family relations that we have here, they can become too important to us. And we can make idols of clay, for that's what the flesh is, it's clay. And we can spend our thoughts and our time upon these natural relationships and neglect that eternal family into which we've been born by Thy Spirit. That's the important family. It's not these fleshly ties that shall someday all of them be dissolved and exist no more, but it's that heavenly family. And we spend our time considering the pleasures and joys of this body and neglect the joys of our soul. Christ, our husband, our friend, our lover. We neglect that relationship with Him in trying to build these fading relationships on this earth, seeking the approval of men whose approval means nothing, seeking the friendship of those whose friendship means nothing, and neglect Him who sticketh closer than a brother. our eternal friend, the Lord, and say, Lord, teach us to number our days. Let us think on these things that we may apply our hearts to wisdom. In the name of our Master, we pray, and for his glory, amen.